Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, depending on when you're listening to this. It's morning for me. It's 7:11 in the morning on a Sunday, and I have my French press coffee in the little French presser just waiting for me to press. It just says, come on, Tracy, press me, press me. Okay, I'm going to go over. I'm on my way over to my French press that has been brewing it up here. And here comes the pressing. This is going to be awesome. I love French press coffee. And you know what I like about it? One of the things I especially like about it is I like how it's French. Yeah, it adds to my the illusions that I sometimes like to maintain that I have some sort of a continental sort of... I can't back it up, though. I can't back up that particular fantasy about myself that I'm somehow continental. Anyway, so, oh, there it is. Just poured it. What? Yummy. This is going to be good. So while I do my episode today, I'm going to drink my delicious French press. Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a little bit of cream in this, too. Just, I don't know if that's going to un-Frenchify it, because frankly, I have no idea. But, yeah, I'm going to put a little cream in it. Here comes the cream. Here comes the cream. And splash! Okay, yum. Okay, today I am, this is, you might hear my garbage can opening because it's got one of those automatic things. Now I'm closing and opening my refrigerator. So many noises! Okay, so today I'm going to talk, as I said I would, on more about the idea of what people call psychic abilities as being expanded spectrum of the regular senses that we have. So basically, people who have what are sometimes referred to as psychic abilities are basically just, they're not filtering out the expanded, actually full spectrum, full natural spectrum of the senses that they are familiar with, that we're all familiar with from elementary science class, third grade science class, when we draw a little picture of an ear and a nose and some eyes and so forth to teach children about the senses, right? So, we're taught to expect to be able to see things, those of us who have, you know, those who have sensory organs that are functioning in the most, you know, basic, the level that most people have. There's certainly people who have vision difficulties or blindness, people who have hearing difficulties or who are very hard of hearing and so forth. But the majority of people have some use of most of their sense organs. That's me sipping my coffee. Seems like a good idea to have some coffee this morning and snuggle with my cat here while I do this podcast. Okay, so there's terms for these different things, like clairaudient, clairsentient, olfactory, I guess it would be. Different people who sometimes smell or hear or see. Some people perhaps taste and so forth. Things that are not obviously present in their environment and that not everyone else is going to be seeing. But what they're doing, what we're doing then is we're picking up on vibrational fields at just a somewhat more expanded capacity than typical. You could analogize it to some people can see, but they require glasses or they're just not seeing quite as far as another person. Some people have 20/20 vision. Some people have actually better than 20/20 vision, which means what they could see at 20 feet. What most people could see at 20 feet, they could actually see at 40 feet and so forth. When I was growing up, I actually had better than 20/20 vision.
And so now that I don't have better than 20/20 vision, my mildly disturbed vision seems like a big deal to me. But it's not. It's okay. I feel like telling a funny story. When I was a little kid, I wanted to wear glasses because I thought they were cool. And I talked to my mom into taking me to the eye doctor. And I went to the eye doctor. And you know how they hold those little screens and they flip those little screens around to show you, you know, do you see better like this or like this or like this or like this? And so being the incredibly unsophisticated liar that I was, I always just said the opposite. So whatever the optometrist would flash, if it was like if a person could see better with this slide, I would say that I couldn't see as well with that one. And then I would say I could see better with the bad one. And so if that makes sense. So he's like, can you see better with this one or this one? I kept saying the opposite in hopes of tricking the optometrist into getting me glasses. And he takes me through this full series. And then he goes, perfect. He saw through my trickery and I did not get glasses. He said my vision was absolutely perfect. And I was like, damn it. Well, he doesn't, probably didn't think damn it, but I said, foiled again. So anyway, I did eventually get glasses years later, but even then it was only after my vision had distorted just enough that, that when I went to the eye doctor, they said, you don't really need glasses. And I'm like, yes, I do. It's different now. I can't see as well as I used to. And I did actually mean it then. Anyway, now I can get away with not wearing glasses some of the time, but some of the time I really do need them. So that's what happens. Oh, my wish came true. I finally have glasses. Anyway, I digress. That's what happens. This is, if I do any podcasts early in the morning, they're going to all be full on rabbit trails, but it's kind of fun. So you can see, so that's the literal or the rather, I should say the conventionally agreed upon kind of vision, but we can also, in a sense, see using, I'm going to conjecture that it's probably the same part of the brain that we see, that is also where we, what people call imagine. So, and we can have like a sense of seeing things, perhaps even that might haven't happened yet, for instance, or we might be able to see things through the eyes of another person. So those kinds of things are the ways in which we often, those of us who have some expansion in that information in our minds, you know, can kind of see what other people are seeing, kind of interpret things the way other people are interpreting them as a way of gaining information about what's going on with them. And some people who are clairaudient, meaning they can hear things that other people are not hearing, or they smell or taste. For instance, maybe you walk into, you're somewhere and all of a sudden you smell a particular smell, and it isn't there per se, but you're picking up on a vibratory signature of information that you're experiencing as smell. And one thing that comes up for people, of course, is like, oh, you know, they feel like, oh no, I'm hearing voices or I'm seeing things. One of the ways, and that, you know, becoming something that's characteristic of a psychotic disorder, for instance. Yeah, you know, of course, that's obviously that can be a thing. But another way of looking at it too is, you don't, if you do sometimes see things that other people aren't seeing or smell things and so forth that other people aren't smelling, you don't have to automatically judge or justify it. And I'm referring to my last couple episodes. Take a look at those episodes if you want to know what I'm talking about with regard to that. Basically, you don't have to make a big deal out of it in the sense of you don't go, oh no, what's going on? Am I crazy? You can just, if you just experience, take it as, well, that's just information. I don't need to cling to it or get worried about it or make a big deal out of it or question my sanity right now. I can just go, okay, that's just information. It may or may not be completely subjectively or originating. It might be information that's useful. It might not. And to not judge it in the sense of, oh, no, it's so bad that I'm seeing or feeling or whatever things other people aren't seeing right now. But you also don't have to justify it in the way of saying, oh, yeah, this is super important and I have to make a huge deal out of it and understand it and dig into it. You can just go, okay, that's information. If it turns out to be useful, it turns out to be useful. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And if you kind of just approach it that way, it helps to not make it a problem. Now, if you're a person who is experiencing seeing things or hearing things and things that you find very upsetting, then, you know, talk to somebody. You know, again, judging and justifying it isn't going to help, but if it's very upsetting and it turns out that it is affecting you in a negative way, well, heck, you know, get help. Medications definitely help with psychotic symptoms. So there's a difference. We don't have to see it all as, oh, it's automatically bad if I'm experiencing things other people aren't experiencing. But, and you also don't have to consider it automatically bad, you know, like you're a bad person or something horribly wrong with you if you do have symptoms that turn out to be very upsetting and things that you can't disentangle from or which seem more real to you than other kinds of data, then, you know, perhaps there's an aspect of psychosis there and there's medication that definitely helps with that. And none of these things should be need to be upsetting. As soon as something's upsetting, then it's something that it's very reasonable to get help for and treatment for. So, yeah, I want to differentiate that. I'm not minimizing the fact that some people are very, very upset by seeing and hearing things that other people aren't quite seeing and hearing. But the first piece of it is to not attach to it. If you're not attached to it, then it becomes less relevant whether or not it's quote unquote real. It's just some kind of information. Perhaps information entirely limited to your own imagination. And in other scenarios, it might be information that is useful in some way beyond your subjective experience. So, that might be all I want to say about that today. In any case, it's just information. And if you hear a truck go by, I'm using this analogy again, you hear this truck, the truck is going by and you're thinking, ah, I know that sound, that's the sound of a truck and it's going by. You don't have that sense of, oh my gosh, I need to go track that truck down and understand that truck and know why it made that sound and it's some sort of a sign. No. It's just the way your ear heard vibration that went past you, and it's very useful if it prevents you from being in a car crash or stepping into traffic, right? It's all very useful as a preventative. That's what our sensations and sensory perceptions can do. They can help protect us. They can help just give us all kinds of useful information. And so if you're a person who experiences a broader spectrum of those senses, the most important piece is don't attach to it. Gather the information there is from it and move on just like any other sensory experience. And if you find that it is very difficult to detach from those sensations or things, and you have a lot of beliefs about them that make you, that you upset yourself about, then get professional help to make those things manageable. Even that is on that spectrum, you know. The more attached we are, in a sense, the more that we think, oh, this is a hugely big deal that I need to grab onto and just focus on until I understand it, the more you will essentially project your own issues onto the experience, rather than just take in the information and experience it as useful or not useful. Again, I'll use the truck driving by or the bird flying by. You see a bird, that can be meaningful. But if you just obsess all day long about, oh, that bird was so meaningful, and I have to understand exactly why it flew by just then, essentially you're attaching and upsetting yourself. And that's like a silly analogy, but I hope you get what I mean. It's like if you take any sort of sensory data as being such a big deal that you can't just gather what there is to gather from it informationally and let it pass, whether it's to the degree of what people would call psychotic versus just situational, then you upset yourself and prevent yourself from being in the very next moment and the next moment and the next moment. So take the information, absorb it, integrate it, and move on, whatever it is. I think that's all I'm going to say about that today. I'm going to drink some more of my delicious coffee and get up and around and probably have a wonderful, wonderful day. And I hope that you also have a wonderful, wonderful day and a wonderful, wonderful all the times. And I'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.